The American walks every day, normal, going to work. He's walking downtown in Manhattan, and all of a sudden, two planes hit the Twin Tower, and they have no clue why would somebody do such a thing.
Deliberate and deadly attacks, which were carried out yesterday against our country, were more than acts of terror. They were acts of war.
Radical Islam has declared the war. Radical Islam is at war now with the West.
When I saw the second airplane hit, I knew jihad had come to an end.
Come to America.
This is Global Patriot Radio.
Welcome to the Vito Esposito Show with Big Al, starring the godfather of Global Patriot Radio, the dawn of dissenting discussion, the Italian infidel himself, Vito Esposito. Him and his hitman, Big Al, are here to whack the leftists, shake down the Democrats, and put out a contract on all the jihadis that are messing with the American family. And if you got what it takes to be a wise guy, you can get made right here on the show by dialing 319-527-6706. So, get ready to go to the mattresses and say, Mamma Mia, no Sharia, because Vito and Big Al are going to give you a radio show you can't refuse.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call number tonight in every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that no pork eating American lover, Al. How you doing, Al?
Hey, doing great, Vito. Great to be here. Good to have you back.
Thanks for sitting in last week. Had a little family, not emergency, but a little family issues going on. So family commitments, let's just say. So,
hey, family comes first.
Yes, so I apologize to everyone, and thank you for all for joining us, and appreciate the follows by the peeps on Twitter, and also want to say hello to Bigfoot, our big patriot, and Ducky from the Northwest, and Sue from New Mexico. And Bigfoot, you can check out Bigfoot's blog. It's called at www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. A great blog spot. So if you want to follow international news, national news, you want to follow what's going on all around the world, and you want a flavor of news, check out Bigfoot's blog spot. Love it. I absolutely love it. Read it every day. And plus, he tells you what's going on, in the state where he's at or location where he's at, which is pretty cool too, because he's gives you a kind of it's cold up here or beautiful winter day in the 10s and the 20s, and it's good. So you find out like Euro News, North Africa Post, Turkish Minute, public radio of Armenia, in Cyprus, Syrian Observer. I mean, you're not going to find any other sources without having to sit there for hours going through the internet trying to find these medium sources. That's what makes it really good. So thank you, Bigfoot, for all you do with that blog spot. Al, you're following the PGA Tour this weekend?
Yeah, what a wild tournament. The winds one day and then the next day it was nice and calm, and now we got rains. And I don't know, did we finish it up today? Because I watched a little bit, and then it was pouring down rain, and they stopped it, and then I had to go do other stuff and never got a chance to find out if they finished.
Well, no, they haven't finished yet, but the leader has just teed off on 18. He pushed it right, but he made a hell of a birdie, a gutsy tee shot on 17, the famed 17. It's a little par 3, 143 yards, all over water. If you don't carry to the green, you're in the water. You have a chance of bouncing it off the green into the water, spinning it back into the water. Guys are coming up short. And, of course, on Friday, when the winds were horrendous, guys were playing this hole and 140-yard shot, and they're hitting six irons, and some of them were hitting seven, not even getting to the green. It was horrendous. It ate up the big players, which was very, very surprising. But it's going on right now. Cam Smith of Australia is leading. He's leading by three shots with the birdie on 17. Guys in back end who were chasing him are kind of folding or not making any types of moves. So Paul Casey from the UK, who lives in the United States, by the way, so he doesn't have to pay the exorbitant taxes in the UK, is in second place. He had a hell of a bad break on par 5, 16. I mean, this guy drives it in the middle of the fairway. The fairway is like 50 yards wide, and he finds a little ball mark from a previous drive, and the ball lands in the ball mark. This ball mark is as big as a ball. It makes it past the divot, but goes directly, and he can't move it, so he had to lay up. It's like, you know, the golf gods hate you, if you believe in that stuff, by the way.
Oh, I do, and he's a brutal god. Don't want to get him angry.
hell no. But the weather was a real winner this weekend, and it saw many of the top 25 players kind of succumbed to the weather. Some rose to the top. I mean, Dustin Johnson actually had a great finish today, shot a 29 on his final nine, so he shot a 63, so he's getting ready for the Masters, as Holger said. And then the delay caused the normal Sunday finish to move into today, and it looks like they're going to get it done. Unless Cam Smith explodes on the 18th hole and completely falls apart, he's got his three-shot lead. If he double bogeys and Casey birdies, we're into a playoff. But for the most part, with a three-shot lead, hopefully Cam Smith can close the door. So it's still going on. You can catch it on the Golf Channel. I have it on in the background with the sound off, so I can do the show, and as much as I wanted to see this tournament, it's a really cool tournament. $3.5 million or something like that goes to the winner. I mean, that is just absolutely incredible. Wow.
Yeah, $20 million purse.
Unbelievable, huh?
That's big bucks.
It really is. Hey, speaking of big bucks, an announcement was made this past week, and then it looks like Tom Brady is returning to the NFL, isn't he?
But what team is the big question?
I don't know. He's not coming back to the Tampa Bay Bucks?
I don't know. I heard on ESPN that he may have pulled this stunt so he could get out of his contract. He didn't want to go back to Tampa Bay. So.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry.
This is ESPN,
let me interrupt this.
So who knows? Yeah, it could be fake.
Let me interrupt this really quick. Cam Newton, all he had to do was lay up. He knocks his second shot in the water. We have a tournament. We have a tournament. He just let everybody back in the tournament. I can't believe he did that. Oh, my God.
Pressure.
He knocked it in the water. Exactly. Hot Bay. So Tom Brady said, these past 2 months, I really apologize. I didn't mean to interrupt you. The past 2 months, I've realized my place is still on the field and not in the stands. That time will come, but it's not now. I love my teammates. I love my supportive family. They're real athletic supporters. No, they make it all possible. I'm coming back for the 23rd season in Tampa. Unfinished business.
Oh, excellent. Well, then I am thrilled.
Yeah. You know, when Gronk didn't retire after Brady announced, I was wondering if there was just a time of pause.
That's a good clue because Gronk and Brady follow each other around till the ends of the earth.
Right?
So, yeah, so you're right. With Gronk staying, Brady's staying, and that's good. And so much for ESPN giving me bad information, making me look stupid. I can look stupid all on my very own. I don't need ESPN's help to do it.
So Brady's coming back for what, his 43rd season? Is that what it is?
I don't know. Maybe his 50th anniversary?
Jeez. I mean, my goodness. I know, right? I got to give him a lot of credit, man. He keeps himself in great shape, look, he's kind of been kind of immune to any really bad injuries, so good for him. Good for him.
Well, he's had great defensive lines his whole career. That's the key.
And he has the timing of, you know, give him a couple of seconds in the pocket, extra seconds in the pocket, and he'll pick you apart, and that he's done. So.
Mm-hmm. They don't call him the GOAT for nothing, the greatest of all time.
That's for sure. You know what? It's interesting to see what's going to happen. So Tom Brady will be back. Major League Baseball is back. So if you're still following Major League Baseball, they ended their strike. It started in December. Mm. So yeah, we're going to see what's going on.
Ah, screw the MLB.
I understood from iGuy today that the Major League Baseball is going to start at the regular time. So they're not going to be missing anything as far as opening day. So opening day is as scheduled. Anything else, I can't tell you.
Yeah, they're cutting spring training. They're taking it off the front end instead of the back end, so which is a smart move. Yeah, that makes sense.
All right, well. And then for all of you college basketball freaks out there, I know Hank is one of them. College basketball is getting ready for March Madness. This week are the conference finals, and Sunday is Selection Sunday. Will your college team be one of the final 64? Duke went down to Virginia Tech, and Bigfoot, your Virginia Tech, is it Hokies? Virginia Tech, I forgot. But anyways, they beat beat North Carolina to win their first ACC championship, which was congratulations to Virginia Tech. Very good. They had a big win against Duke, and Duke didn't play well down the stretch. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with that tournament.
Virginia Tech will be playing sixth-ranked Texas, so that should be a good game.
Oh my gosh, that'll be a great game. Are you kidding?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah, no. The ACC final. I thought they beat. Gotcha. My bad. That's right, because it was Coach K's. This is Coach K's last ACC finals, and they were trying. And Duke was trying to win that tournament. Or that ACC title one last time for Coach K. So Mike Krzyzewski is hanging up his gym shoes, and he is retiring. And I'll tell you what, that's a hell of a dynasty that Mike Krzyzewski put together at Duke. I don't know personally, you know, I mean, I love Duke, and I love him because of Coach K. I love Coach K's teaching, his coaching. I love his philosophy. I've heard him speak several times. He's just, to me, I like the guy. And I don't know what that means for Duke, honestly. I don't know. It's almost like what happens when Nick Saban leaves Alabama, the University of Alabama. Will that football program take a step back and then allow everybody else to come in? Could they maintain the same recruiting? If you follow college basketball, I think it's almost like when Kentucky went through their coaching changes, they just, everybody else got back into the fold in their division. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
So the number one ranked teams in each division, Gonzaga in the West, Baylor in the East, Arizona in the South, and Kansas finishes up as number one in the Midwest. So buckle up. Wow. March Madness is beginning.
Fill out your brackets, get them in early, and see how you fare. Be interesting. Got to check out some of the odds.
And I'll put a link in for the brackets just if you want to check it out and follow them this year.
All right.
Yay.
You're the man. And speaking of brackets, so Iran plotted to assassinate former Ambassador John Bolton. And I know you saw that story. The Iranian regime never stops. And this is no... this is yet another example of the totalitarian, theocratic regime of the murderous Iran. The Iranian mullahs are nothing if not vindictive. The Washington Examiner revealed Monday that at least two Iranians belonging to the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Covert Action Quds Force have been plotting to assassinate former security advisor John Bolton. According to the Justice Department officials with direct knowledge of the investigation, John Bolton, who flounced out at the Trump administration in a righteous rage in 2019, hasn't been in a position of power or influence since. And yes, now, even as Biden's handlers are prepared to give the Iranian regime everything it wants and more in Vienna in a new nuke deal, and that's why those who are responsible for this plot are not being called out. The Biden administration doesn't want to do anything to offend the Iranians and prevent the nuke deal from being sealed. Yes, really. And I'm telling you, there's more to this story. I'll read it in a little bit, but I have to tell you, to me, this Biden administration is one anti-American administration. We're talking about, first of all, the Obama-Biden Iran deal was a lousy deal. And what they did, what the Obama-Biden regime did was kowtow to the Iranian terrorist regime. And now you've got bonehead Biden and his incompetent regime are forcing ahead with giving Iran carte blanche to continue building on their nuclear program, which is a direct threat to our allies, Israel, which the terrorist state of Iran calls Little Satan. And if this isn't bad enough to scrap any type of talks to giving into Iran for the bad Obama-Biden-Iran nuke deal, in Iraq, multiple long-range ballistic missiles were fired at the U.S. consulate in Erbil. Now, who likely was behind providing the ballistic missiles? Iran. So in the words of Robert Spencer, the Islamic Republic of Iran is likely behind this, talking about the bombing of the U.S. consulate in Iraq. The Mullers know that Biden's handlers want the nuke deal above all things, so as to vindicate Obama and repudiate Trump, and so they'll stand this as well. Weakness invites aggression, and Biden is a weak man. He projects weakness. Our allies know it, and certainly our enemies know this is true, and they understand it. Kind of a man who was anointed as president, installed as president, okay, does not defend the United States of America and its people. John Bolton was a former ambassador to the United States. I mean, a high-ranking official at one time, and yes, John Bolton has ardent belief system, but now you have the terrorist regime of Iran who is set on assassinating John Bolton, and the bubbling Biden administration continues on with their with pushing this nuke deal where this terrorist regime should not have. Instead of isolating terrorists and this theocratic terrorist regime, you've got the Biden administration emboldening it and helping to finance this terrorist regime by buying their oil as well. If nothing else, Biden is incompetent. Biden is an anti-American. Biden is just absolutely feckless. And I find this absolutely abhorrent, this behavior by this administration. I don't get it. Honestly, get it, Al.
Well, I can tell you this, that any country that puts a hit out on a high government official, that should be a actionable offense. And Iran putting out a hit on a United States former high government official at the highest levels of government office is not only is it disgusting, but as you said, for President Biden to not only ignore it, but to embrace further negotiations with this country for a treaty, how can you even trust this country isn't going to put a hit out on somebody else?
Exactly. Or have they already?
Yeah. Right. Talking about a violation of your oath of office, I think that would be a violation. Aiding and abetting an enemy, because that's what he's doing. Where are the Republicans? Why aren't they screaming? Meanwhile, John Bolton's got to look behind his back now for the rest of his life.
Well,
President Biden's not going to give him any help. Yeah.
Actually, he does have around-the-clock Secret Service. He has been given Secret Service. So I'll go into the article here. But this is the Biden administration we're talking about. It's not at all outside the realm of possibility that Biden's handlers would be avid to pursue the nuclear deal above all other considerations. They have already been making concessions after concessions as Russian negotiator Mikhail Ulyanov revealed when he said admiringly, the Iranian clerics are fighting for Iranian nuclear national interests like lions. Indeed, I'm very serious. They fight for every comma, every word, and as a rule, quite successfully. I must recognize that I'm absolutely sincere in this regard when I say Iran got much more than it could expect. Much more. Realistically speaking, Iran got more than, frankly, I expected, others expected. This is a matter of fact. That statement right there, that paragraph, should tell us all we need to know about the anti-American Biden-Harris administration. They are destroying our foreign policy. They are in bed. They are capitulating. They're kowtowing. They're spineless little wimps to the people who want us dead, and that would be Iran. In PJ Media, the story continues that since the Americans are busy giving everything away to Iran, why not ignore the Bolton plot as well? The plot appears to have been in its advanced stages. It included significant reconnaissance activity by Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps and involved an effort to recruit an assassin on U.S. soil. Because of this plot, Bolton in late 2021 or early 2022 was given full-time Secret Service protection and significant FBI assets were also deployed to disrupt the plot and assist in protecting him. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan seems to have signaled American knowledge of the plot on January 9th when he warned Iran that the U.S. would protect all those serving the United States now and those who formerly served. Now, I don't know about you, Al. I don't get a warm and fuzzy since it's Jake the Snake Sullivan at the helm of the national security, but proper statement to make that the United States will protect all those serving in the United States now and those who formerly served. This is not acceptable. And you know what? The United States should wrap up and immediately terminate any type of discussions and negotiations and take the Iran deal off the table. Matter of fact, the United States Senate has not been advised and has not given their consent over this deal. And therefore, with the knowledge that is now known with regards to the attempted assassination on John Bolton and the firing of ballistic missiles at our U.S. consulate in Iraq, all deals are off. All deals are off. All deals are done. But, you know, Biden despises, as does the swamp, they despise Donald Trump, and therefore they will dismantle anything Trump had done. They will re-implement anything Trump had taken off the table. That's how much they hate that man, and they hate this country. Yes, I'm saying it. They are anti-American that's running the government today, that's in charge in the White House today. They're anti-American, and they're anti-constitutional. This is unconscionable, what's happening. Don't get it.
Well, what is to get? Biden hates America. He loves the Iranian mullahs, and he's jeopardizing allies in favor of the Iranian mullahs to such a point that there's a story this week where Erdogan of Turkey is now opening up relations with Israel. Talk about pigs flying and polar ice caps in hell. Well, it just happened. So what drove Erdogan, jihadi Erdogan's wanting to be the caliph of all of Islam into the arms of the infidel Jew Israelis? Fear of Iran and Iran's nuclear ambitions. He so feared Iran that he opened up a relationship with Israel and hopes that Israel will attack Iran and destroy their nuclear capabilities at some point down the road.
I also think another thing happened with Erdogan. Now, Erdogan's economy is not doing well. And Erdogan is to blame for that economy and for isolating Turkey and for trying to move Turkey more fundamental. When you and I were there in 2010, we had a brief history of the country by a local who knew the country very well. And the history was that there was a sort of an unwritten line that separated Turkey. It separated like at Istanbul and and east was more fundamental. Istanbul, the west of Istanbul was more more metropolis, more metropolitan, and it had a more Western ideals because it welcomed the tourism dollars that were coming in, and also, the Greek Isle side of Turkey, which would be the western side of Turkey, the western coast of Turkey, was a great attraction for Israelis to holiday. Israelis loved that Greek Isle, and they weren't getting it. where were people going with UAE opening up and going, you know, going into Doha and, you know, going into the United Arab Emirates? Those dollars were starting to leave Turkey. Those dollars were going to the Greek Isles. Those dollars were going elsewhere. And so the Israelis weren't taking their shekels, and they weren't going to Turkey any longer. And with the with the strain that, that Erdogan was feeling financially, economically, he had to make a choice. Does he follow the terrorist regime of Hamas and of Iran, or does he go back to what was working prior to, you know, his fundamental belief system where he wanted to be the caliph?
Very interesting point. I didn't think of the economic angle, but that makes perfect sense. And this is still, this is a legacy of President Trump's Abraham Accords that no one in the media is talking about. In fact, they're not even really talking about this story at all. It's been spiked from New York Times, so nobody else is reporting it, but it's an important little story.
Well, you know, it's funny that you you bring up that issue of what do you call it? I got it right here. I got it. It's funny you brought that up about the Abraham Accords. I don't know if you followed if you've seen the articles from the Con Men of Care, but the Con Men of Care have an article out, and it's titled "Care Condemns Israel Relations Normalization Act for Enabling Israeli Occupation and Bolding Regional Dictators." So the Con Men of Care put out this press release, and it says that it condemned the recently passed Israel Relations Normalization Act for enabling continued Israeli human rights abuses of Palestinians, bolstering dictatorships in the Middle East, and furthering the Trump administration regional arms deal. Okay, and of course, you've got the Palestinians, including the Con Men of Care, have a hard-on for President Trump. The Congressional Act and the so-called Accords, right, there's your Abraham Accord, Al, promote Israeli government relations with authoritarian governments in the Middle East like Bahrain and UAE. And I find it so comical. I find it so comical that the Con Men of Care decide they're going to dump on the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain and call them the promotion of authoritarian governments. When in fact, the same Con Men of Care support the human rights violators, the terrorist regime of Hamas. Hamas calls for the annihilation of Israel. Hamas is nothing but a terrorist organization that runs the Palestinian territory. And the same thing, Hezbollah. Are they a theocratic terrorist regime? How about Iran? Aren't they a theocratic terrorist regime? The real human rights violators are the Islamic terrorists and those who support these jihadists. CARE embraces Islamic jihad with their support of the terrorist regime of Hamas. And Hamas was labeled and designated a terrorist organization by the United States State Department. Now, maybe if the terrorist regime of Hamas wouldn't fire rockets and missiles into Israel, the Iron Dome would not be needed by Israel. But killing Jews is Hamas's mission, and it's endorsed by the Con Men of Care. I'm sorry, Hamas is endorsed by the Con Men of Care, who are also from the Palestinian territory. Excuse me, both Nihad Awad and Omar Ahmad hail from the Palestinian territory. They don't speak ill of Hamas. They don't call Hamas an authoritarian government. They don't call Hamas a terrorist organization. No, far be it from them. And now they're condemning the Con Men of Care or condemning Israel as human rights violators. That's a bunch of horse shit. They don't like the Abraham Accords because they were working. And President Trump saw through that peace was not going to happen with the Palestinians there. And the Palestinians didn't want to come to the table because they hate. They hate Israel. They hated Trump. and they hate Jews. So President Trump did an end around. He went directly to the United Arab Emirates, to Saudi Arabia, to Bahrain. And guess what? They were none too happy to jump on board with the Abraham Accords because they wanted to forge peace. Hamas doesn't want peace. Therefore, the Palestinians don't want peace, which means that the Common of Care don't want peace. Jeez. What a bunch of frauds that care.
They're Hamas supporters at the end of the day. And they're getting isolated because their money sources, the only big problem country left is Qatar. And who knows what they're going to do. And despite all that, President Biden has tried to destroy the Abraham Accords and has failed. Because it was such a great idea because these Sunni Arab Muslims have such a fear of the Shia Iranians and Hezbollah that they'll side with Israel to be their protector and let Israel fight their fight for them, and they know that they will.
That's right, because all Israel wants to do is defend their country. You know, and the thing is, Israel's not the aggressors. You know, maybe if the Common of Care would demand that Hamas scraps their charter, which calls for the annihilation of Israel, maybe if the Common of Care demand that Hamas stop attacking Israel and Jews and killing Jews, maybe there would be peace in the region because Israel has no problem in enforcing a peace agreement and forging ahead with peace. Because they want to live in peace, but Hamas doesn't want to live in peace. And this nonsense by the Common of Care, who are nothing but a propaganda arm of Hamas. Let's face it, wasn't it the Palestinian organization, the Islamic Association for Palestine, the IAP, which was raising money for Hamas? And geez, who were the players of the Islamic Association for Palestine before they were shut down by the U.S. government? Omar Ahmad and Nihad Awad, son of a gun. Both are the co-founders of CARE. So when the U.S. government shut down the Islamic Association for Palestine, instead of deporting Omar Ahmad and Nihad Awad, why did they deport those two individuals? So those two individuals literally walked across the street and hung a shingle up and started this thing called the Council on American Islamic Relations, CARE. And now all Muslims are a victim in the United States. Suddenly, you know, the Palestinians are their human rights are being violated. Their human rights are violated by Hamas and the PLO. You know, while Hamas leaders live lavishly on the Mediterranean, while they drive Mercedes-Benz and high-end vehicles at the expense of the people live in squalor. And they use them as pawns. And these silk-suited Conmen of Care get up in front of the American people and they try to act as if they care. They don't care. They're the Conmen of Care inside the U.S. government. They have the ear of the feckless wonder Joe Biden. And he's allowed them back in the front door of the White House, as did Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama. The real human rights violators are Hamas and the PLO because they hate Israel. More importantly, they hate Jews. So to hell with the Common of Care and the Palestinians. If you don't want peace, then you pay the consequences. If you attack Israel, they are not going to sit by and cry and find a safe room. They're going to hit you back, and they're going to hit you back harder. You know, when are you all going to learn that? Obviously, you know that. But as long as the world is sympathetic to the plight of the downtrodden, like the Palestinian people who are beaten down by the terrorist regimes of Hamas and PLO, there will never be peace in that region because Hamas doesn't want peace with Israel. You know more about that region than I, but, you know, I mean, Hamas needs to change it. The UN should demand that Hamas scrap their charter. Hamas doesn't want peace, do they, Al?
No, they don't want peace. The UN doesn't want peace because
Because everybody hates the Jews until they need them to take out the Iranians.
Yeah, right.
But meanwhile, Intel in Israel is making their technology and the chips are what's in your phone and in your computer. So you get to thank Israel for watching for the show on your computer or on your phone. And yet they get no respect. So, but anyway, I'll tell you, Erdogan, I don't trust him for a minute. He is a snake. But this is the way it's going for right now, then it's a good thing. And it should be scaring the Palestinians because they're going to be isolated again. And they're showing their true colors.
I was going to ask you, about Erdogan taking the position that he is with opening his, what would you say, his arms to Israel. I mean, you would have to take it very, very slow on you, wouldn't you? I mean, I don't trust the man, and now you have a sudden change once again. I mean, he's authoritarian. He wants to rule. He wants to be the caliph. And then suddenly he's changing his tune. So somebody must have cut off the spigot, the financial spigot for the guy.
Yeah, I think you hit on it with your economic analysis. I think that was the key. Well done.
Well, I have to thank my Israeli friends for that because my Israeli friends, they used to holiday in the western portion of Turkey, and all of that's come to an end. And Bigfoot talked about he went to in 2006. He took a cruise to Turkey. If I'm not mistaken, many of the cruise lines no longer dock in Turkey. So Ephesus was a really cool Christian religious site. You had the John the Baptist where he was imprisoned, while you're there. But just to see the artifacts and the excavations, the archaeological excavations in Ephesus, it was truly an experience. And to think, 2,000 plus years ago, it's where Christ walked the land. And it's really amazing to see the sites and what they're uncovering. The tile that's still been preserved that had been covered up by earth and now has been excavated and you see how the tribes lived. The families had their own crest, a lion, a tiger, some sort of symbol, and they made the flooring was tiled, and it was still intact, and it was truly incredible to see. And I don't know, Bigfoot, if that's what you took from it as well, but you're talking about 2,000 plus years ago. Absolutely incredible.
We're very fortunate to go. I would be hard pressed to go back at this time.
Well, yeah, especially what we encountered when we were there, and that was during peacetime.
I know.
I'll never forget that guy. I know your people. I was like, oh, whoa, that was really weird.
Yeah, that was a bit uncomfortable moment.
Oh, but the what was really good was the pomegranate, that fresh pomegranate juice. Whoa.
Oh,
God,
that
was great, wasn't it?
Yeah, and the bread and the olives, the food.
Oh.
Spectacular.
Oh, and the olives and the that was just mama mia. Okay, so let's get back on track here.
Things come back to food.
It does.
Food is good.
Oh man. So the Investigative Project put out a story. The Investigative Project on Terrorism, excuse me, the strange alliance between Russia and Chechen jihadists. And why this is important, 2 weeks ago you and I were talking about this, and you raised the question about how it made it for strange bedfellows. Well, now there's a story of March 11th, strange alliance between Russia and Chechen jihadists. As Russian casualties in Ukraine continue to mount, numbering in the thousands, Moscow is turning to Syrian and Chechen Islamic fighters as strategic assets. We do believe that the accounts of them, the Russians, seeking Syrian fighters to augment their forces in Ukraine, Defense Department spokesman John Kirby told reporters Monday. We believe there's truth to that. We're in no position to refute the accounts that might be seeking to recruit Syrian fighters. Chechen is a landlocked region located in North Caucasus, in member republic of Russian Federation, a strictly conservative state with a majority of Sunni Muslims. Chechen attempt to form a breakaway independent state after the 1991 dissolution of the Soviet Union. Russia suffered a humiliating defeat in 1996, which was reversed by fierce crackdown in 2000. The Russian authorities went on to establish a pro-Russian regime in 2003, managing to gain the support of great faction of Chechen warlords. Ramzan Kadyrov, the Chechen strongman, who's close Putin ally, has served as head of the Chechen Republic since 2007. The Kremlin-backed leader has imposed strict Islamic social norms encouraging polygamy, promoting dispatch of his Islamic fighters abroad. Not abroad fighters. So knowing in Russia, as Kondrovsky, those fighters have been deployed in special operations in Lebanon, Georgia, and Syria. As strategic assets of Russian foreign policy, they have also taken part in counterinsurgency cooperation programs between Russia and China. There's another alliance between Russia and China. Many are veterans of the wars of Afghanistan and Syria, earning reputation for a ruthlessness and discipline that makes them feared fighters. As many as 10,000 Chechens are reported to be fighting for Russia inside Ukraine. Chechen Rosgvardia National Guard troops were spotted north of Kiev on February 27th, advancing through Chernobyl nuclear exclusion zone toward the Ukrainian capital and again north of Kiev. Chechen fighters took part in the 2014 Russian-backed secession of Ukraine's eastern provinces. Now they are expected to play a role of assassins, saboteurs, and military police in Ukraine's main city after an eventual victory of the Russian forces. Specifically, Chechen commandos were tasked with assassinating the Ukrainian president, Vladimir Zelensky. So, Al, what do you think of this alliance that is now in the open?
Well, I think that Putin is using these Chechen Muslims as cannon fodder. Because he doesn't care about them, but they are effective fighters. And then he's saying that on the other side, Zelensky is using the Nazis, the white nationalist Nazi party, to fight on their behalf. So it's kind of like you said, strange bedfellows. But then again, if Putin is using international terrorists to do their fighting, then I think America could be supplying all the Javelin missiles that they can get into the hands of the Ukrainians so the Ukrainians can fight this war as best they can, and we won't have to be drawn into it if they are victorious. But
so
how's that
for
a long answer to your question?
I think that's a good answer, and I'll go furthermore and ask you, and I know this is maybe a softball, but is this a payback from Bashan for Russia protecting Syria and protecting, you know, Bashan's interest in keeping him in power in a country that's in total disarray?
Yeah, I guess Bashar al-Assad, the leader of Syria, could have sent these jihadis to the Russians to be used by the Russians, to help the Russians. But the Russians were at war with the Chechens at one point, and from what I understand, the Chechens may want a piece of land to get payback so they can have their own nation. And all they want is 1,000 square miles, so they may just get it. And that's the price. That's what they're fighting for.
Yeah,
either way,
we know that a 1,000 square miles. Once they're given that, then it's 2,000 square miles, and then it's 2,500 square miles, and then
yeah.
then they're going to go to Assad and say, we want, you know, all of Syria since we fought for you, you know.
Yeah, and these same Chechens, Putin was at war with them. He hates the Muslim jihadis, but. So he'll use them, like I really think he'll use them as cannon fodder, and then when their usefulness is up, if they don't do what he wants, he'll ice them too in a time of his choosing.
This sentence in this, in the city of Olbs, residents were amazed to see Russian soldiers performing Islamic prayer rites in the streets. With these carefully organized initiatives, Russia wants to appear as the benevolent post-imperial power that can affiliate itself with both Christian and Muslim population under its protection. Yeah. And the operative word, of course, is ruthlessness, and that's exactly what Putin wants. You know, he's doing exactly what Stalin did with Stalin did back in the 30s. To Ukraine. People don't realize, but we're looking at history repeating itself.
Yeah, Stalin, Lenin, they killed millions of their own people because they wouldn't cooperate.
Lenin.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Lenin did it
right
in 1932-33.
Yeah, this is, they haven't unleashed their power. Like, everybody forgets Russia is a superpower. And has been, and Putin has been building it up since the fall in 1991. He's been doing nothing but building up the Russian Empire for the hope of one day building it back up. Is what he's doing with Ukraine, and I believe he's going to take Ukraine at some point. And the big question for me is, what comes next?
What comes next?
Right, because right now he's right near the Polish border. What if a rocket goes into Poland? Whoop, one already did. A misguided rocket falls into Poland, and the next thing you know, NATO is dragged in, and now you got World War III starting. And we all know throughout history, world wars have been started on much less. So. Yeah, I'm very concerned about this, and I feel like President Biden's asleep at the switch.
He's allowing it to happen, for one. And, you know, what's even more troubling is, you know, how the neighbors to the north of Ukraine are engaged in attacking the northern province of Ukraine. And you've got the Belarus army. Now has apparently, it's been reported that they've entered into the northern part of Ukraine, which, you know, we're talking about the Belarus being a sovereign country now attacking another sovereign country. You've got Russia attacking Ukraine, and then you have the Russia firing rockets on the Polish border where the United States has troops there. So, you know, so what's ripe for the picking? Does Russia then now consume Belarus? Since Belarus now has willingly gone into Ukraine, does that mean Russia now believes that it is their territory? And then, of course, you've got Moldova. And what about Poland? Now, what will the EU do? The EU should be outraged at this, and the EU has pretty much been silent.
Well, because they want Russian oil. Putin's got them. Putin supplies 40% of the natural gas and oil to Germany. Yeah, where is Germany? Germany, Austria, Croatia, France, Italy even is quiet. Slovenia, Croatia.
That is correct. Amazing how it all ties together, huh?
Well, these are like European buffer states to Russia.
But then you got Estonia, Latvia, like you said, Belarus, Lithuania, well, minus Lithuania, but Belarus, Latvia, and Estonia, and Ukraine are all on the Russian border. So you take those countries, they're more or less a buffer zone from Europe to Russia. Because you have to have a buffer zone now with nuclear weapons. But then again, you can fly a missile over all that territory without a problem. So the buffer zone argument, I think, is weakened. But these countries should be doing something and sending the signal to Putin that if you take one step further, we will annihilate you. And they should be feeding every arm that they can get to the Ukrainians, just like, just like America did to the Afghanis when Russia was trying to take over Afghanistan. And then those Afghani jihadi scumbags turned those weapons on us and killed our people. I don't think we have to worry about the Ukrainians turning the arms that we give them back on us, the United States of America.
True that.
Yeah.
True that.
And these Ukrainian refugees, I want them in the United States. Hell, they're all primarily Christians for the most part. And they'll assimilate into the United States culture, unlike other so-called refugees.
I'm like, what? Other refugees? What?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know about you, but I was last night I got very concerned about where this was headed, and I have a very bad feeling that this thing can just spiral out of control.
Well,
I was going to say, you know what I want to know is how did President Trump keep the lid on all this for 4 years? What did he do? So if anybody knows the answer, call in, please. Call in. Area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. I've read stories, but there's so much news out there, I can't tell. It's taking a big effort to tell what's real news and what's propaganda.
You know, the one thing that President Trump was good at, and when he got outside of the United States and away from the saboteurs in Congress, like Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, and he was at his best because he knew and he understood people, and he understood his adversaries. And, of course, the hate mongers in the media, I call them the DNC media because they despised President Trump. But the hate mongers, they decided they were going to paint a different picture. They would do the opposite of what President Trump stated. They tried to undermine his presidency and his foreign policy at all points. The one thing that President Trump did, and just look at the bringing Kim Jong-un to the table, what did he do? President Trump did something that no president before him, from the Korean War all the way to, what, that 9 or 10 presidents, had done. In addition to bringing back the remains of 52 Korean American soldiers who were killed in the Korean War. He got those remains brought back, and he was able to bring closure to families. But what he did was he tried to create a dialogue. And he doesn't mean that he trusted Kim Jong-un, but Kim Jong-un knew his place. Kim Jong-un knew where he stood. And the one thing he was not going to do, he was not going to bamboozle President Trump. Trump kept him close because he knew how to read the young man, the young person. And And you see, the one thing that we didn't have an appeaser in the White House. Today we have an appeaser in the White House. We have a marshmallow. We have a man who is incompetent, but he's been, you know, for 40 years, he's 44 years he served in the U.S. government, and he has nothing to show for it. He's a racist. He speaks in sound bites when he can speak in any type of sentences. And so when you've got you have your adversaries who smell weakness. They see weakness. They see this frail old fraud shuffling to a podium and not being able to conduct a simple press conference. And then they watch the vice president as she conducts herself overseas, and she's an embarrassment. She's an absolute dolt. She's an idiot, and she's an imbecile. She tries to act intelligent, but she's not. And she exposed it yet once again when she was on the stage with the Lithuanian president. I mean, this is a hapless administration who is projecting weakness. And Vladimir Putin is no dummy. You know, they all talked about, well, Trump was in Putin's pocket. No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't. He played Putin to the nth degree. And why do I say that? I say he played him very simply. You know, President Trump nearly bankrupted Russia. How so? By getting into the oil business, by making America independent. America should be supplying our European allies with both gas and oil. We should be paying $1.50 a gallon for gasoline and not listening to the sound bites, to the meaningless and empty sound bites by this administration that say, well, Putin caused the rise in gas prices that we're seeing today. That's horseshit. That is absolute crap. That is a lie. President Trump, because of his energy policies, brought the barrel of oil down to a net zero, and it nearly bankrupted both what? Saudi Arabia, OPEC, and the Russians. The Russians were scrambling. They had 12 months worth of GDP left or income left as a result of that. And in the meantime, they're all saying that all the Trump haters say, well, Trump is in the back pocket of Putin. Well, if Trump was in the back pocket of Putin, that's a hell of a way to show it, isn't it? And it turns out the one that's in the pocket of Putin is the imbecile in the White House. You know, Biden and his crime family. And
where's Hunter?
Yeah, where's Hunter? Yeah. Hunter made millions, Al, right? He made millions off of the Russians. Millions. Gracious. It's sad what we're seeing happening in Ukraine, but a friend of ours sent an article, a mutual friend of ours, with regards to Holodomor. And this is back in 1932-33, and some of you in the chat room may remember the Ukrainian history. But it was Lenin who created a famine in Ukraine and attempted to starve the Ukrainian people in an attempt for Soviet Russia to take Ukraine. And you know, this is nothing new with Russia. Joseph Stalin tried to collectivize agriculture in 1929. The Communist Party was forcing peasants to relinquish their land and their property, and which included their farms in Ukraine. So with Russia attacking Ukraine, it's not something that is new. The dismembering of the SOTO and dismantling of the Soviet Union, you still have the players from the old Soviet Union, i.e. Vladimir Putin. He remembers that component or that makeup of the Soviet Union. He remembers all that power the Soviet Union had over Belarus, over Ukraine. And people act as if this is something new. It's not new. Vladimir Putin is old school communist. He's following in the steps of Joseph Stalin. This is not something that's new. The Communist Party wants power. And they seek to bring back what was theirs. Does it mean they're going to go into Yugoslavia? Does it mean, or the old Yugoslavia? Does it mean they're going to Romania? You know, who knows? It's very possible. But the first quest, of course, is to take over Ukraine and take back Ukraine. In their minds, I believe that Putin sees this as taking back Ukraine. They stole it in 1931 and 32. They created a catastrophe in that country, and they starved out the Ukrainians. That was their attempt to starve the Ukrainians in order to take that country. And we're seeing it today. We're seeing the same communist tactics being employed. I mean, what is it that the American people don't want to understand about Russia and China? They're both communist countries. They both are intent on power. You know, we see, for instance, here's a situation, and I'll explain it the right way, but people don't look at China in the right way, in the authoritarian way, in the unilateral ruling of the government. If the mayor of New York gets out of hand, and let's say he opposes the federal government, that is the right of the mayor of New York to run his city and to oppose the government. Okay, so you may not want, let's say, mask mandates. You may oppose vaccine passports. Okay, so the mayor of New York is totally opposed to that. The federal government, the Biden-Harris administration, can't do anything to that mayor. Now, let's look over at China. China, this past week, it's been reported that they have a spike in the Wuhan virus. And the Wuhan virus is hitting two big cities. It's been hitting two cities bigly. And because the mayors of those two cities aren't handling the pandemic properly, the Chinese government went into those two big cities and they removed the mayors of those cities because they were giving the Chinese government a bad name. They literally removed the mayors and put in their own people. Now, it may seem trivial. It may seem something little, but think about this. This is what communists do. Communists don't like you. They remove you. Well, in our constitutional republic, the federal government doesn't have the ability to do that. The people can recall the mayor of New York if they so choose to do so. But the U.S. government can't walk into New York and remove the mayor because that mayor opposes the federal edicts. But in China, it happens, and it has happened. Two mayors have been removed from their office because of the increase in the Wuhan virus in their respective cities. I find that fascinating. Fascinating to the point where don't we understand what communists are capable of doing? Why are we legitimizing China and treating them as if they are a capitalist partner? They aren't capitalist in any way other than taking U.S. dollars, then stealing American taxpayer money. And guess what? Russia is no different. Russia has never lost its communist identity. Yes, it's lost the label of the Soviet Union, but you have a man, Vladimir Putin, who understands and knows the Soviet way of life. He understands the Soviet rule. And what is he doing today? He's taking back what was the Soviet Union's that was acquired by his predecessor, Joseph Stalin, and that is the Ukraine.
Wow, that's a great point. And where's Bernie Sanders? I mean, communism is so prevalent here in the United States now. They've so infiltrated our culture. Between the Democratic Socialists of America, the DSA is a thriving party here in the United States.
Bernie Sanders is a proud socialist communist Marxist who was almost came in third for president of the United States. That's how many people voted and like him.
Yeah. Yes.
Right. Now the Russian Empire theory holds that this started back in 2008 before this even happened. This just did not happen overnight. Now, Putin's invasion of Georgia in 2008 and Crimea in 2014, as well as his 2015 decision to intervene militarily in Syria, were all parts of a strategy, some say, to restore Russia's geopolitical position and erode the U.S.-led rules-based and international order. So to weaken the United States. So this has started for a long time. So there is no question he's going to take Ukraine. And like you said, what's he going to do next? Is he going to take the 14 other supposed satellite states? This is what we need to be preparing for now. But I'm not getting a sense of that with the news. All I know is that the COVID virus has disappeared, and everybody's well, because I haven't heard word one about that nasty little virus for the last 2 weeks.
Well, I just put a story in the chat room that was from The Hill, and mm-hmm. The Hill, here's the story. Chinese officials reported 588 new confirmed cases in the 24 hours ending on Friday, but no deaths. That included 134 confirmed cases in the northeastern Jilin province, a number which prompted a shutdown of the Chengchun, a city with 9 million residents. On Saturdays, the mayor of Jilin was replaced, as was the mayor of Changchun. China operates under a zero-tolerance strategy, finding and isolating every case and sometimes conducting mass testing in cities and towns. So if you think that, because if you're elected in China, that you're safe, bull. Because if the Chinese government doesn't like what you're doing, you're history. You're history. You might as well join the Uyghur camps, because that's exactly what happened. And then Bigfoot writes in the chat rooms, I thought World War One was started. Oh, sorry. At the start of World War One, Poland was not independent. It had been petitioned by Russia, Austria-Hungary, and Prussia, which later became Germany. And that's an interesting point because, you know, you asked the question, would Putin go after Poland? Well, maybe not initially, but then again, Joseph Stalin mentality, what happened in World War One, although it was 1918, 1917, that's that mentality, though, is of what? Before, was it around the Bolshevik Revolution? So that's when the communists came into power. So now you're looking at, Russia possibly acquiring parts of Poland. But I think before Russia would go for Poland, they would go back to whatever those Soviet states were, which makes it easy for them to walk into, in my opinion. I don't know if that's true, but that could happen. So.
Yeah, true. But if he sets foot in Poland, then the NATO charter is going to come into effect, and now we're in it.
Right. That's correct. So there you go. Is it like what happened with World War II when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor to get America into World War II? America had refrained from getting mm-hmm. into World War II until we were physically attacked. So when you attack, and of course you've got the president dummy, saying that we're going to stand by the fourth paragraph of the NATO charter. Well, so who knows what president dummy will do? I mean, he's obviously not smart enough to do anything.
Well, president dummy in this case is right, because remember even in January when Putin was putting his forces on the border, and then he made the idiotic comment. He said, well, if there's a limited incursion, his words, quote, limited incursion, well, we kind of looked the other way. He literally gave them the green light to go.
I mean, that's an absolute dumb statement. And you see, there's the difference between President Dummy and President Trump. Because President Trump wouldn't even have stood for a limited any type of incursion, limited or otherwise. President Trump knew that you battle force with force. And he stood toe-to-toe with Putin. I mean, you know, this is incredible. I mean, we're talking about a spineless, gutless wonder who likes to speak in soundbites, meaningless soundbites and slogans. And you think Putin, you know, who headed the KGB under the Soviet Union, really is threatened by President Dummy? I don't see it. I honestly don't see it. I mean, and he understands that the people that are behind him, that are pulling this puppet strings, you know, will appease Vladimir Putin. So, you know what? So the mentality is, so what if he has Ukraine? I mean, he's got Crimea. You know, Obama, Biden gave him Crimea. Now Biden, Harris are giving the rest of the country. It was just a two-step process. The Trump-Pence administration kind of interrupted that flow, but now we're back in the fold again. We got Crimea. We don't have to fire a shot. We're going to get, you know, the rest of Ukraine. I tell you, you have a guy that in Putin who's been in power for how long now, who espouses the Joseph Stalin, you know, communist edicts and control. And you think that Vladimir Putin is threatened by Germany? You think he's threatened by the leaders of the United States, who are all pretty much Marxists themselves now? Give me a break.
Well, hey, we got a call. You want to take it?
Sure.
All right. Hey there, 8091. Welcome to the show. What's your name and what's on your mind?
8091. Oh, that's my last four digits. Hey, this is. I was waiting for my area code.
No.
Huh?
Area code.
No.
Area code.
So what's your name?
412.
What's up? Boyd.
Yes.
Oh, Boyd, I'm sorry. I didn't recognize your voice.
Yeah.
My apologies. Welcome.
Oh, that,
I'm glad you
that's,
called in.
That's all right. Yeah, I was.
What's
just,
up, brother?
I was just going to say we were having a history lesson or a classroom in the chat. But,
yeah,
you
it's
know,
pretty cool.
Yeah. You know, it seems as though two world wars were started in the same patch of ground in Europe. And I think it's going to happen again. You know, all we got to do is have one misplaced cruise missile or something like that, and it's going to happen again. Same area of the world and everything else. And that's Poland, you know.
Well, you already had the test fire was earlier, a couple of days ago, when they misfired the ballistic missile or some sort of rockets that landed close to the border of Poland, Ukraine, where U.S. Troops were located as well. So, you know, you could be right there.
Yeah. Well, you know, one mistake on one missile, and it could be all over. You know.
Okay, let me
the
ask
Poles,
you this.
I'm going to say this: the Poles never started any war. They were invaded, and everybody came to help. The rest of the world.
Boy, do you really think that – I'm going to ask you, and I already know Alan. Do you really think that Vladimir Putin would want to start World War III, knowing that if it comes down to a nuclear situation, which it certainly could with a Russian oligarch, if Russia even unleashes their arsenal of nuclear – weapons against the United States, if they should get us involved, we are going to do the same. And humanity as we know it is gone. Because we're not going to just fire one nuclear missile. The Russians aren't going to fire just one nuclear missile. They're going to unleash their entire arsenal aimed at the United States. And the United States has no choice but to release and unleash their entire arsenal. There are no weaponries to stop these nuclear missiles from coming over here. There's no such thing as an Iron Dome that could stop these nuclear missiles from hitting the United States. I just don't see it. I don't believe it could happen, honestly. Do you?
I pray that it doesn't.
Okay.
You know, that it wouldn't. I can't say that it would or wouldn't. But, you know, the one thing you have to realize, okay, is that we're all old men. Well, I don't know about you guys, but you know, we're all old men who have lived our lives, but are putting at risk the lives of the young and people who have not lived and learned life lessons like we have in the whole world.
Yeah.
And that is one thing that kind of upsets me a little bit. And if you go back through and, you know, you paid attention in your history class, you know, all the wars and stuff are usually started by old men, not
That's
young
true.
Men.
That is true, without a doubt. So let's hope it doesn't come to that. You know, let's hope that this conflict, this war, is confined to Ukraine. And you know, I think that personally, I think Putin smells blood. He, you know, as he smelled it in 2014 with Biden, Obama and Biden, he smells it again with Biden and Harris. And you know, he acquired and took Crimea, and now he's seeking to take the rest of Ukraine.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, you know, at the very beginning, and I still think this is true, this is a mafia war, believe it or not, in my analogy. It's like back in the old days when, you know, after Lucky put all the families together and everything, you know, everybody, all the families paid tribute, you know, all the way up and down the chain. And somebody would quit paying their tribute, and it would, you know, instigate a little mafia war in between the families and stuff. And that's kind of what I see is happening with this Ukraine Russian war, is that Zelensky was one, either getting very close to shutting down the operations in the Ukraine, or decided to no longer pay tribute to the oligarchs. And with that, you know, the families got together and decided that, you know, Zelensky has to go. I mean, why else, in my view, would they go after Zelensky on such a personal level as the assassination attempts, supposed assassination attempts? You know, I mean, that would be one of the first targets the Mafia Dons would do, was go after the Don who was the one not paying, or the one that instigated not paying. So
that's if the Mafia did truly exist, that's right. That's a good question.
You know, I mean, I kind of grew up there on the East Coast, very close to Manhattan and stuff, and, you know, you'd see that all the fucking time. You know?
No, I don't know.
Well, it was back in the days when I was there.
Yeah, you know, and then when you look at the, you don't want to be a conspiracy theorist, but, you know, you have a lot of history with Ukraine when it comes to this particular U.S. government and the players that are currently occupying key seats inside the U.S. government, including the President of the United States and his crime family, his son, you know, his ties to Ukraine, Biden's ties to Ukraine, Nancy Pelosi and her family ties to Ukraine, John Kerry and his family ties to Ukraine with his stepsons, and Mitt Romney and his daughter's ties to Ukraine. So, you know, what I find interesting is that, yes, Zelensky has to go according to Putin's eyes, but, gee, the timing of all this is incredible. You know, President Trump was impeached over a supposed quid pro quo, when in fact it was Joe Biden who had diarrhea of the mouth, and he was bragging about his quid pro quo that was endorsed by Barack Obama, and yet it's been buried by the U.S. media and the Democrat Party. And now we have an invasion of the very country in which is at the center of the political, which could be a political scandal in the United States, and nobody's asking questions.
Well, of course. And probably part of Biden's non-response, shall we say, is probably due to the fact that his tributes that were being paid, you know, through Ukraine were stopped too by Zelensky.
Ah.
Yeah.
There you go. So you've got, let's see, you've got John Gotti stops the tributes, okay, to Vito Genovese. Vito Genovese now starts a turf war, okay, because his tributes have been stopped by an opposing family. I'm saying if the Mafia did exist. And so now you have the same situation going on now where, you know, why would President Dummy make a statement that we'll allow a little incursion, just a small one, but you don't allow any incursion into a sovereign country. I mean, if you really were true to a country's sovereignty, you would not tolerate any type of incursion.
No. And you know, the other thing that to look at is that the other families through the commissions have sanctioned this. If you look at you know, the responses, you know, that's coming from supposedly our side in support of Ukraine, you know, you know, it's not really there. I mean, the news claim it's there, you know. I mean, hell, you know, everybody's saying that they're helping, but they're not. You know, it's token help, let's put it that way. And all the token help has been pre-approved by the commission.
Well, we'll see what happens. You know, Bigfoot put a nice story in the from the Balkan Insight about a Soviet drone, the Tu-141. It crashed in the Croatian capital of Zagreb. I mean, that was, you know, from Ukraine. And looking at the map from Ukraine, you have to pass through Slovakia, Hungary, and into Croatia, or Romania, Serbia, into Croatia. So, I mean, what the hell's going on here? What the hell's going on?
Well, yeah. Well, hell, that stuff's been going on for years. I mean, it's like our drones and stuff have been flying. We're flying all over Ukraine before the war started. Of course, I'm sure that they are still flying all over the Ukraine and the Black Sea area, but you just don't see them. But, you know, you can look on sites like FlightAware and some of the other aircraft stuff. You see RC-135s, and you can see drones up there all flying patterns around Ukraine, you know, picking up intel and, you know, mapping the battlefield and all that stuff. But, you know, they're not over Ukrainian airspace. They're outside of it. But, you know, I think our Predator drone has a 1,500-mile radius that it can look at and pick up intel from, you know, around it. And if you put it up there on the border and stuff, I mean, hell, you can damn near cover all of Ukraine and part of Russia.
That's true. Yep.
You know, so a Soviet drone crashing over, where was it, Belgrade, or what did you say?
Zagreb, Croatia.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't take too much into that. Because, you know, it'd be like us, you know, if we lost one over Ukraine or someplace in Belarus, something like that, you know, that was not shot down, that just had mechanicals or whatever and came out of the sky, you know, with no weapons or anything on it. It's just over there taking a look-see, you know. It's maybe can be a violation of airspace, but if they didn't have that thing on radar to begin with, you know, then something's wrong with them.
Well, NATO had,
however,
and that's the sad part of it. NATO had it on air, on radar, so I don't know, you know, how NATO allows this drone to fly that across their country or their NATO country's airspace, unless they knew where it was from. So,
well, I'm sure that they knew, and I'm sure the Russians track our drones and know where they're from and what they're doing. And, you know, as long as we don't shoot them down, you know, all is well, you know, between the nations and everything. So who knows?
That's true. Who knows?
But, yeah. But, you know, it's the thing that worries me the most is that they are getting close to the Polish border in the west. And so far, the accuracy of their artillery and their missiles and stuff is not as good as what I would maybe expect from them. So that if one of them, you know, goes errant and flies a little farther west than what it's supposed to and crashes into the, I guess I would have to call it the sacred soil of Europe, that area and that soil where the last two world wars began, you know, I would be worried about that.
That's a good concern. I hadn't thought about that, especially with the two, you know, you and Bigfoot brought up some good points, and Annie with about the world where the last two world wars started. And given the current, you know, world economics, let's hope that that's not on the horizon and that Russia is just focused on Ukraine and reacquiring that country, that land. So,
I don't well, watch you it. Know, like I said, but yet in the mafia context, I don't know if they really want to acquire that land and stuff, but they do want to reestablish and reacquire their tributes, shall we say.
And that's what I'm referring to. I mean, I think that goes with it. They once that Ukraine comes back into the Russian fold, now it becomes part of the Russian property, and then they reap the benefits of that country. They reap the tributes of that country. That's correct.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how this goes. But you know,
film at 11,
kind of like an insight. You know,
film at 11, 12. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. For the rest of the day, that's all you get, 24 hours.
Yeah. But, you know, still, okay, let's look at it this way. We all need to get on our knees, face Moscow, and thank Putin for single-handedly, without a doubt, wiping out COVID.
Hey, it took the communists to wipe out what the communists started, right?
Yep. I mean, I haven't heard anything about COVID, you know, since all this shit started. So it must be over.
It must be, you know, the fabrication of the whole pandemic.
Yeah. You know, and the only other thing, you know, this is another weird thought of my old man chemo brain stuff. Okay, they had hoped that the COVID would wipe out a lot of people. I mean, a lot more than what was already wiped out. And they didn't depopulate the world like they wanted to. So this is second attempt to wipe out population of the world.
Hey,
well, we'll have to see.
Could be.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to have to see what's going to happen here. So
yeah.
Well, boy, thank you for
anyway,
the phone call, man.
You bet.
And you
yep.
stay safe.
You bet.
Yep,
hey,
have a
good
week.
One, guys. Thanks. Bye.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Hey, two news stories that popped up. Jesse Smollett, you remember him? Jesse Smollett?
Yeah.
Oh, what a piece of human garbage. Got 105 months. Now, Jesse Smollett, if you remember, he is the guy who was convicted of hoaxing hate crimes, and he he said that people in mega hats wrapped a noose around him, put him in bleach, threatened to hang him from a tree, hit every racist marker that you could think of for the KKK. The result of his hoax resulted in anyone who was wearing a mega hat getting beat up in public. Many people were hurt because of it. Well, he finally got he finally got 5 months only for what he did. So he got himself undone. And then we also have a WNBA player who went to, speaking of Russia, she went to, a lot of our WNBA players are playing basketball in Russia because they're making $130 and some upwards of $1 million, much more than they make in the WNBA, the Women's National Basketball Association, here in America. Well, Ms. Griner is her name. She was caught with some hashish vape in her luggage when she was going over while wearing a Black Lives Matter T-shirt, jacket that matters, but she went over to Russia and had hashish vape in her bag, and she's looking at 5 years. 5 years.
You know. Can I say something on that? Would you mind if
Please.
I said something on that?
Please.
You know, what really and truly is mystifying, and it just shows how the education system in America dumbs down the American people, Brittany Griner was a great college basketball player. Followed her at Baylor. She's a wonderful NBA player. You know, she's tall. She is the second WNBA player to dunk the ball. Very talented lady. She's lesbian. She came out of the closet. That doesn't matter. Okay, but here you have these Americans who go overseas and look. Some other NBA WNBA players gone over as well, like Breonna Stewart. Breonna Stewart was at the University of Connecticut. Great player. I followed the University of Connecticut and Gino and his players, and Breonna Stewart's great. But my goodness gracious, okay? Just because, you know, you think that you're immune from carrying a marijuana stick, a CDB card, or whatever you want to call it, and you think you can go into a communist country at like China or, let's say, Russia, for instance, and believe that you're going to be immune from any type of prosecution or that country's laws, you're stupid. I'm sorry. You're dumb. Okay? You don't go in, and it was proven in China, you don't go in and vandalize that country and not expect to have consequences for being a criminal. It's unlike America, where you can go ahead and break into, I don't know, a Louis Vuitton store and take thousands of dollars of merchandise and then say, oh, well, it's part of that. Do you think the communists give a shit about reparations? They don't care. They have laws, okay? And that means no drugs. Now, Brittany Griner should have known better. She's a freaking adult. She should have known better, and she should have respected the laws. If you want to play in those countries, it's not like the people come to the United States and they make demands. Well, this, you know, if you go to Saudi Arabia, you can't carry the Bible, but if you're a Muslim coming to America, we have to respect your faith, okay? It doesn't happen like that in Russia, and that she was stupid. I heard Hank talking about on his show, she was stupid. And you know, these NBA players, these athletes that go to a foreign country, if they don't respect the laws of that foreign country, then you have to deal with the consequences. And the dealing with the consequences is you're facing 5 years in prison. You know, it's just like that. I just saw that. Excuse me. I just saw that movie from the 1970s. When I lived in Long Island, that guy Billy Hayes played the guy that got busted in Turkey for trying to smuggle heroin or hashish, and he had it on his body. What was it called? I forgot the name of the movie. Bigfoot will know. And he gets bagged at the by going on a plane, and then he's put into a prison, a Turkish prison, for how long? For the rest of his life, he's beat up, and finally he breaks out. You know, I'm sorry. But the consequences are severe. If you steal, if you smuggle drugs, if you bring drugs into a country and get caught, guess what? This isn't the United States of America, okay? Your Black Lives Matter victimization doesn't matter. The communists don't give a crap about Midnight Express. Thanks, Holger. Midnight Express. Oh, my God.
And the irony of it is that Black Lives Matter – Black Lives Matter is they're founded by communists. So here, yeah. Ms. Griner is going to a communist country. She's got a little hash vape in her bag, and she's looking at 5 years. And where are her communist brothers of Black Lives Matter? Well, they're awful quiet.
Yeah. Communist Kamala.
You know, and,
we stand with you, Brittany. We stand with you. Oh, give me a break.
Yeah.
Don't blow it out your
and
ass,
then the
Kamala.
Icing on the cake is Jesse Smollett's brother, Joque, he calls his brother a complete victim. He was attacked. This is his brother talking about his other brother, Jesse. He was attacked, and he's now going to jail for being attacked, adding, do you know how crazy that is? And you know what's even crazier? Well,
what?
Let's pick on the white guys now. Alec Baldwin, who is psychopathic, he is now blaming Halyna Hutchins, the woman that he shot on the set of Rust with a supposed toy gun or prop gun that happened to be a live gun with a live bullet, and he shot her point-blank range.
Oh.
And now this crazy psychopath is blaming Halyna Hutchins because supposedly there's some clause in his contract that he's immune from any legal proceedings. Well, I hope the Halyna Hutchins family takes every dime out of Alec Baldwin's estate and then he does some serious jail time for murder because he's gone to, oh, I wasn't responsible, took no blame for it, then it was an accident, and now he's accusing his victim for the shooting, for her own death.
Why not? Well, maybe he's
thinks he can get away. Yeah.
Yeah. He probably consulted the con man of care. How do I get out and be a victim? That's it. You know, blame the victim.
Right.
Oh my God. Jesse Smollett. That whole story was manufactured. He never was attacked. He did the attacking on himself, and now he's his brother's still making him the victim. And Alec Bolt. This is what a sick society.
Yeah. All I know is that after that happened, a lot of innocent people after these Trump rallies that were going on all over the country were getting attacked and brutally hurt, put in the hospital, all because of this Jesse Smollett.
Yeah, no consequences to him.
Yeah.
Wow, and 5 months.
And Alec
Baldwin.
Yeah, psychopath.
Really quick, we only got like 13 minutes, but speaking of psychopaths, there was the fiscally irresponsible United States Congress did something in the dead of night that should make everybody in America sick. It should show how out of control this government is that's run by Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer and Chuck Schumer. In the dead of the night, 1:30 in the morning, the Democrat Communist Party converged their committee exclusively, irrespective. No Republicans were invited. 1:30 in the morning to talk about and to propose and pass the $1.5 trillion omnibus spending spree. And in doing so at 2:30 in the morning, this committee, this Democrat-controlled committee, and it was only Democrats, they passed a 2,741-page bill. Now, most members of Congress, most members of the U.S. House were asleep at that time. There is a – Marjorie Taylor Greene has put together a quick video. It's audio here. It is 2 minutes and 43 seconds. You've got to listen to this. But I'm going to tell you something. This administration, this current government is totally out of control, totally out of control. And the reckless spending by this House, United States House, that's led by Nancy Pelosi, is reprehensible. Here is Representative Green. We should be outraged that we have this out of control Democrat-run Congress who are meeting covertly in the dead of night to pass these irresponsible spending sprees, including rewarding themselves with a 21% pay increase, these rotten sons of bitches in the United States House
but
of Representatives.
The fact that last night the Rules Committee met after midnight and they told no one and they snuck in there in the dark of night, meeting from 1:30 to 2:30 a.m., to pass the omnibus bill, that just means that they wanted to sneak it through and they didn't want anyone to stop them. So now we have no way of changing the bill, no way of adding amendments, no way of doing anything. We're just forced to vote on it today. We are supposed to vote on this $1.5 trillion omnibus bill today, and no one has read it. No one has read the bill. 2,741 pages. Yes, that's right, 2,741 pages of $1.5 trillion in spending. Please share this video. Share this video so that everyone knows how corrupt and how horrible Congress is being run by Speaker Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats. It's never been done this way in history. This is so broken. It is so wrong. Please share this video and let people know that the Democrats met in the dark of night in the Rules Committee from 1:30 to 2:30 a.m. to sneak by the $1.5 trillion omnibus bill with 2,741 pages, and we're supposed to vote today, and we haven't even been able to read it. We're barely able to read it. So this is completely wrong. Please tell everyone this is exactly what they're doing. Other votes we have today is the oil ban for Russia. We have a temporary spending bill that keeps the government's lights on until Tuesday. I don't think the government deserves to keep its lights on. I think the government should be shut down, especially when they're sneaking bills through in the middle of the night. This is completely wrong. Nancy Pelosi should be completely unseated as Speaker of the House. Who can honestly tolerate this type of treatment? And she works for the American people and the American tax dollars. So I'm completely disgusted and appalled, and I wanted you to know, I want everyone to know, this is the thing, these are the things that happen here, and I'm upset, I'm angry, and I'm angry on behalf of all of you, and I hope you're angry too, because this place is broken. I mean, they're literally sneaking through massive spending bills with awful things in them in the middle of the night. Okay, please hit share and let...
Unilaterally passing 2,741 pages at 2:30 in the morning. In the morning, a spending spree shoving down the throats of the American people, and they have the gall to pass it, knowing that buffoon Biden, also a member of the destructive Democrat Party, will sign this reckless spending spree, which certainly greases their friends' palms and pads their own salaries. How dishonest is Nancy Pelosi, having her destructive Democrat dummies unilaterally passing a 2,741-page spending spree with no input from the opposing party and giving themselves a raise, a 21% raise, while they proclaim they're working for the American people. And that's a flat-out lie. The destructive Democrat Party is on a mission. The writing is on the wall. They will lose their majority in the House. They could lose the Senate if they don't perfect their cheating. The destructive Democrat Party is mounting a U.S. debt intentionally because they know their puppet in the White House, President Dummy, will sign the unilateral reckless spending spree, and Democrats know the American people have no idea what they are doing in the dead of night right behind the Americans' backs. The Democrat Party, the government party, the swamp, has made a mockery of our representative republic. Their greed, their oblivious and uncaring swagger, including the arrogant and impotent Pelosi, unsympathetic to we the people. We the people, three words coined by our founding fathers that have become meaningless and irrelevant over the last 240 years to a body of representatives that no longer represents the American people. We the people, representatives of the U.S. government who are selfish and self-aggrandizing, bent on increasing their own power, their own wealth at the expense of the American people and at the expense of our constitutional republic. It's nothing but a corrupt cabal that's in Washington, D.C., and it's sickening what we're seeing today. 1:30 in the morning, these rotten bastards met covertly, and they excluded the opposition party. This is unconscionable what we are seeing today that's happening in the U.S. government, all because of we got a pathetic little man who is sitting in the White House, and Nancy Pelosi knows they can shove anything down the American throats, and the American taxpayer is going to pay for it. Not only are we paying it for it at the pump, but we're paying for it dearly with increased taxes. And these rotten bastards in Washington, D.C. increased their pay by 21%. 21%! There's over 3,000 employees in Congress, over 3,000, and they're going to get a 21% rate increase. It's what we're seeing today out of this government is just our founders are rolling in their grave. They're rolling in their grave. I know we only got a couple of minutes left, but I had to play that. The American people are being sold down the river by an anti-constitutional, anti-American cabal in Washington, D.C., and they are miring America in more and more in debt, and they're doing nothing to help the American people. We're now more dependent upon the federal government than ever before.
Well, here it is. This is what it's costing each and every one of us. You take that $1.5 trillion, you divide it by 320 million, which is the population of the USA, it comes out to $4,687
per person. So put that in your buka and smoke it. Why we work so hard.
Right. And not to mention that House members had 3,695 staffers, total of 6,880 nationwide. Senate members had 2,342 staffers, a total of 4,120 nationwide. So that's over 10,000, almost 11,000 staffers nationwide by this government. And they gave them a 21% increase. And now they can make more than $174,000. They can make $199,000 at taxpayer expense. And we can't even pay enough to fill our fucking gas tanks. Okay? Now, in 2019, when it costs, what, $45 for a 22-gallon tank of gas, it's now $104. And then they have the audacity to say, well, Putin's the cause of it. No, Putin is not the cause of it. Joe Biden and the destructive Democrat Party are the cause of it. These rotten SOBs. Hey, tomorrow night we got Eric from Kafiro Stand with Across the Crescent at 6 p.m. Wednesday, Hank Jones at Poly Sports at 5:30 p.m. Paul Sullivan on Thursday evening with the Significant Report. He's also the author of The Cancer of Civilization Jihad. You can buy it on Amazon.com or paulsutliff.com. Friday, Andrew Howard with Conservative Casual Friday at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. Minister Simon Dacduck and the beautiful Christie revealing the truth about Islam, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Check out Osama's show. Sunday, Eric from Kafiristan is back with The Cross and the Crescent, the real interfaith dialogue. If you want to learn about Christianity and Islam, it's a great, great interfaith dialogue, a real interfaith dialogue. Monday, Alan, I'll be back with Mama Mia No Sharia. Other shows on Blog Talk Radio include Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio, she's in the chat room as well, her and her wonderful sidekick, Curtis, 1 to 4 p.m. Friday afternoons, Eastern Time, Southern Sense Talk Radio. Right after Annie, you've got G-Ski and Dave, Airwaves America at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and G-Ski's back. Good to see him back. Keep him in your prayers. Chief Simple Facts of Life, Tuesday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on Blog Talk Radio. Audrey Russo of Real Talk Radio. Check her out, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Thursdays, go to AudreyRusso.com. She has some great guests. And if you want a break from politics and a break from Islam, check out Simone Nicole Show, 8 p.m. on Spreaker.com. It's a great self-help show. It gives you a lot of insight and teaches you how to live your life maybe, more naturally. So Joshua does a great job. His music selection is a little bit to be questioned, but if you can get by that, you'll be all right. Check out the Simone Nicole Show. And Al, any other parting shots?
Adios, amigos. We'll see you on next Monday, and have a great week. Drink heavily.
Hey, I want to thank Bigfoot, our big patriot. Go to www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Great blogspot. Ducky Northwest, thank you. Southern Sense Talk Radio, Annie, our deplorable radio chick. Alaska Boyd, thank you for the call. Boyd, we had Gulf Dogs in the room. You just left, and good to see you, Dogs. And Sue from New Mexico, good to see you, Sue. I hope you're doing well. And I want to thank everybody in the podcast and also out there listening who hasn't signed in. I thank you for listening to Global Patriot Radio and the Vito Esposito Show. We appreciate it. And thank you, Frankie. I'm going to play our way out with Frank Sinatra. You all be safe out there. Keep the Ukrainians in your prayers and just watch what's going on and call your House of Representatives and Senator and tell them that what they did was absolutely unconscionable, passing a $1.5 trillion spending spree in the dead of night. How cheap and sordid that this House of Representatives truly is, run by Nancy Pelosi. Take care, folks. Be safe out there. Ciao.
Yes, it was
forgot I didn't have the counter.
What's that?
I'm lying. I forgot that because I changed the what do you call it, devices, that it I never see the counter. It doesn't come up. I was waiting for the 10 seconds.
Hey, worked out good. Shoot, I forgot to say, Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, they had a record number of single-day executions.
Yes, 81.
Isn't that exciting? Oh, on March 12th. Yeah.
But you want to talk about zero tolerance. Oh, my God.
Yeah. But just remember this, that the rulings, the ministry stressed that the rights of all 81 defendants had been fully respected throughout the proceedings.
Yes.
Ah, so much better.
You know, when I read that, it said, and they also said in the article, they were every one of those people were afforded an attorney.
Yeah.
Oh, but in America, you can kill a cop and you can break into, you know, high-end stores and steal them blind, and we're letting them go, you know, misdemeanor. You can attack a child, you know, pedophilia, and we're going to let you go. And in Saudi Arabia, well, we got you an attorney, and everybody had an attorney.
The other story I didn't get to is, in Nigeria, Muslims murder two people, abduct a Catholic priest, a woman and two children in a jihadi raid on a church.
Oh man, I read
when's
that.
When's this shit
going
to stop? When are the churches in America going to start standing up to this? I don't think ever.
Where's the Pope? Where's the Pope? He's got an answer for everything, but he's been silent on the extermination of Christians in Nigeria.
Well, you can rest easier because, according to Robert Spencer, Pope Francis signed the, quote, human fraternity document with the Grand Sheikh of Al-Azhar. So why is this sort of thing still happening? Why aren't Muslims around the world publicizing the human fraternity document and exhorting their fellow Muslims to stop terrorizing Christians? Well stated, Robert Spencer. God. That Pope is a dope.
You know,
can I say that?
Yeah,
I just did.
You're
Catholic. I apologize for putting the dope on your Pope.
Hey, you don't have to apologize to me. I am so disappointed in this Pope. I'm so disappointed with the Vatican. They have let millions of Catholics down around the world, and it's really sad what we're seeing coming out of the Vatican. And this Pope, they've gotten so socialistic, and they have bent to Islam, absolutely ceded themselves to Islam, and you know what they have what do we say, submitted. There you go.
Yeah. Or you could say he went heels up like our vice president.
Oh.
Jeez. That's very disrespectful. I know. I apologize. I can't stop myself.
You know what? You know something? If they have been, if they weren't installed, I would say okay. But you know what? I don't. They have no respect for the American people. They brought this on themselves. I'm sorry, but I feel nothing for this administration. These people are anti-American. They are anti-constitutional. They are everything what they accuse President Trump of being. President Trump was not an anti-constitutionalist. President Trump revered the American people and the U.S. Constitution. These people hate the Constitution, and they're so bent on dismantling our constitutional republic. And I'll tell you, my own opinion, the powers to be in Washington, D.C. are absolutely penalizing the American people for having the audacity to have elected a Donald Trump and not, you know, Hillary Rotten Clinton. And this is what's happening. We are paying for electing President Trump. So that's my opinion. And I have no love lost for Communist Camilla or for President Dummy. None at all. He's a phony. He's a fraud. And you know what? The arrogance of these sons of bitches in Washington D.C. for Chief, who is a secretary, you know, of what was it? What the hell is he a secretary of? Who knows? Of commerce, you know. We have supply chain issues, and then he has the audacity. Pete Buttigieg had the audacity to come out this week and say, "Well, one way you can save on gas is to buy an electric car." Fuck you, okay? There are people out there who can't even afford a car payment, let alone getting mired in debt for $50,000 to buy an electric car. These people went ahead and they destroyed a system without putting anything in place. And now they're telling us we can go buy an electric car? Go fuck yourself. Oh, my God. I'm sorry, Sue. I didn't mean to swear. I apologize. I'm just absolutely just the absolute arrogance and the hubris of these people to sit there and to tell the American people, well, you know, you can go buy an electric car. You could save on gas. Really? Oh, okay. You know, we're not like the federal government. We don't mire ourselves in debt. Okay. Many of us have gotten out of debt and now are back in debt thanks to the feckless policies of these saboteurs in Washington, D.C. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. What an absolute just arrogant and disrespectful thing to say to the American people. Oh. How you doing, Al?
Awesome.
Good. Sorry. Oh.
Well, you went a week without getting all this off your chest, and it's like a pressure cooker. It really is. I think doing this dopey show, I think, is good for our mental health. You know,
God, I...
we save our wives from so much of this.
Yeah, but it takes me, you know, 4 hours to decompress.
Yeah. God, I don't know. I think that things are heating up in a way that has me very concerned. I mean, I've been wrong. I have been wrong about this from the very beginning. First, I didn't think Putin was going to do it, and then I thought, oh, he'd only do the eastern two provinces and stop there. And now he's doing the whole country, so I'm batting like 0.0 on this. But now I think he's going to take all of Ukraine, and then we'll have to see what's next. So hopefully I'm wrong about that. Now I'm going the other way. We'll see.
Honestly, I thought that he would go after Ukraine and take the entire Ukraine. I don't see anything different. Our mutual friend sent us that article on Holodomor, and the parallels are uncanny what we're seeing. I see that Putin, he's already taken, you know, Crimea, and he wants the rest of that country. And now, you know what? I wouldn't be surprised in the next 10 years if we continue to have this feckless leadership in Washington, D.C. and around the world in the NATO countries. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw the resurrection of the Soviet Union again. Maybe not all the countries that were in that fold. Of course, Czechoslovakia is gone, and Yugoslavia. But, you know, the key Baltic states and Ukraine, Belarus, Georgia, I could see those countries coming back into the Russian rule. Who's in the wings, though, after Putin? That's the question. You know, is there somebody as ardent as Putin?
I don't know. No good scenarios in all this. That's not a reassuring scenario either. Or some have said that Putin's doing this to make sure that he stays in power. Like his position is not solid, but I think the Russian people love him for flexing his muscles like this and getting Ukraine back. I think he's loved by his people. And looking, hey, finally we got a leader with some balls after Gorbachev gave up all of Russia Mother Russia in 1991 just gave it away.
Exactly.
But I could be wrong.
I don't think you're wrong there. I think there's a sense of, you know, the one thing that again, the American people, or the liberals here don't like, and that is nationalism. You know, there's what exactly is Putin? He's a nationalist, okay? But he's a communist first. He believes in communism. He believes in absolute rule. And that's one thing that differs with presidents. You could say, all you want to say about Trump. Trump is not in the pocket, I don't believe, of Vladimir Putin. Secondly, Trump believed in the American people, and he believed in America. And he didn't believe in absolute rule. He believed that government should be at a distance, and if you allow the American people to prosper, you get out of their way, and you get government out of their way. And look what happens when you know, bubbling Biden comes in and the Biden-Harris-Obama administration come back. And what are they doing? They're reacquiring power. They're making Americans dependent upon the federal government once again. This $1.5 trillion spending spree, it shores up. It shores up the food stamp program. Why? Wait a minute. You had President Trump, you know, reduce the percentage from 49% down into the 30s, and now it's back up to the mid 40s, almost approaching 49% again. That's a
no
that
kidding.
Is a Democrat,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, party wet dream. You've got people that are now dependent upon the federal government once again.
Democrat voters.
Exactly. Making people just dependent again. And it's just sickening. It's absolutely sickening.
Yeah. You know, it's sort of, it's a big check mark. You got all these migrants coming over. You got open borders. Mm-hmm. All these people are going to be Democrat voters too. Pretty soon, once they get over 50%, it's not going to matter anymore. Our votes won't matter.
Exactly. You have what, New York City now allowing illegal aliens to vote? Why?
Yeah.
Excuse me, they're illegal aliens. That's un-American. That's anti-constitutional.
Should be illegal.
It should be illegal.
Where's the Republican Party? They should be filing lawsuits all over the place. Yeah.
Exactly.
Instead, we got Rona McDaniel, Romney, leading up the propaganda machine for the Republican Party, which is lame. If you ever look at her tweets, you follow her tweets?
Yeah, I do.
Oh God, I get so angry. I get angry, I write back to her, but she doesn't listen to me. I guess because I yell at her.
it's truly amazing, isn't it? It really is. I you know, again, it goes back to RZ, it goes back to Holder, and the fact that it's a one-party system. It truly is. You know, there are some outliers out there. There are some outliers who really don't, you know, who speak up like the Jim Jordans. But for the most part, though, it's people who just, man, they don't care about the American people.
Yeah, used to be a whole check and balance thing. One side would check and balance the other. The legislative branch would be a check and balance of the Senate and vice versa, and the judicial branch would be a check and balance to the executive branch. They'd all fight for power, and nothing would get done, and it was wonderful. But I don't know.
Now it's awful. It really is. It's absolutely awful what we're seeing today.
Yeah. Oh, well.
It's almost as bad as PXG Golf, you know, enticing you with their $124 wedge, and then you get on there and they charge you $30 to ship, and now it's back to $150 plus the tax, $179. I mean,
whoa,
talk about
what kind
of wedge.
PXG?
Yeah, TXG, they had a great sale, $124 for the 311 Forge wedge. That's a beautiful wedge. I tried to order it, and it turned out they charged $30 to ship it. I was in it, okay? It was $17 to ship.
And
okay.
I said, oh, great. I'm going to get it. So and my wife called. I had to go pick up, you know, family member, come back. I still had it open. I get back in and go to check out. It's now $30 for shipping. It's like, whoa. I call them, and they, no help whatsoever. Oh, we have a glitch in our system. Go back tomorrow. Try it tomorrow. Well, can you help me? No. You have to come back tomorrow. Okay.
Yeah. You write up the order on the phone while I got you here. You write it up for me.
Yeah.
I can't deal with your web. I'm having problems with your website. And he said, no, I can't write up the order for you.
No, didn't even offer any help whatsoever. No, come back. Go check it tomorrow. I know we're having a glitch in our system. Okay.
Huh.
So now I go back in there, and guess what? The chef that I was going to order is not available now. And it's still $30 to ship. So I call him again.
Damn.
And I said, hey, there's still a glitch in the system. Oh, well, we're trying to work them out. Oh, okay.
Well, Ray Perez wasn't wearing his PXG hat.
No. Paul, really?
Yeah.
Ray Perez? Oh.
Pat Perez, that's right. I'm my mistake. Yeah, I couldn't remember.
His brother,
Ray. Yeah. Oh, okay, the one who's the PA.
Yeah, Pat Perez.
Good one. Okay, I got that wrong. Yeah, Pat Perez was not wearing, I thought he wasn't wearing his PXG hat because that's his, you always see him in PXG, they're like a, I don't know, sponsor for him, I suspect, because he's wearing PXG
yes,
stuff all the time.
Yeah, that's he and the owner of PXG are good friends, and the guy took a shot at him, which is great. God bless him. I really have to give him a lot of credit for that. You know,
yeah.
Pat Perez is German. He's only won a couple of times on the PGA Tour, but he's got high hopes. But he's a good player. You know,
good journeyman.
Yeah.
Hey, and a mutual friend of ours has a PXG driver. And, I mean, he gets so much top spin on that. It's amazing. So he likes it.
I know. They got a sale on the drivers, too. So I'm hoping I'm
really
buying brakes within the next couple of weeks so I can get a new one.
You know what driver I'm looking – what I want is that new TaylorMade.
Yeah.
I want to try that with the – just to see with the, they're getting away from the titanium and going to carbon.
Yeah.
Which I thought was very interesting.
I was wondering if it would hold up, and apparently the carbon that they use in it, they say will be much harder. It will be more, what do they call it? It's more durable than the titanium, which I didn't realize that.
No, I thought titanium was about as hard as it gets.
I mean, too.
But, hey, they make sailboats with it. They make those windmills
jet
with
planes.
It. Jet planes now, yeah, with carbon fiber. That's
did you order it
I'm
yet?
Curious. Huh?
Did you order it yet?
Did I order it? Hell no. I'm not going to pay $400, $500 for a driver.
God, you tightwad.
I'm back up to a 15 handicap. But I'm going lower.
That titanium driver will help you.
I was in a slump. I went from a 12 to a 15.
Oh.
But now I'm getting. Now I'm starting to go back down again. I'm figuring it out. But no, I don't buy $500 equipment.
Oh. But it could help you, Al.
It could. It couldn't hurt me.
No. That's why I was looking at the PXGs. They got some good clubs. They really do. They have some great sales right now. But shit, if they can't get their act together, and then they won't even help you when you call, it's like I was stunned.
Yeah, that's
literally
not good.
Just take my order over the phone. No, you can go back tomorrow and check it. Like, oh,
that could be a symptom of bigger problems, perhaps.
I'd be willing to try the PXG. I really would. But
yeah.
I'm not very happy with that.
No. They got great commercials, though. I'll give them
that. They do.
That guy yelling at you. He makes me want to buy it just because he's yelling at me. But I like the way he yells at me.
Right?
Yeah.
And he calls me
I'm very susceptible to good advertising. Propaganda, political propaganda, I can pick up a mile away, but I tell you, a good commercial, I'm a pushover.
And he uses all the politically incorrect words too, which is even better. I love it.
Yeah, maybe that's what, maybe we both like the same commercials. We're both retarded.
As he said, yeah, we are. Speak for yourself, I'd say, but I think you're right.
Yeah.
All right, I gotta go. Hey, great show, right, man, and bye, Sue. Take care of yourself.
Oh, congratulations on the hole in one. Phenomenal. I forgot to bring that up too. That's pretty outstanding.
Hey, thank you. It was pretty cool. And then this time I watched it go in, so that was even better.
Oh, even better.
It was. I saw it go in, and it's like, wow. And it didn't cost me as much as I thought it would, so it was good.
Well, I showed the boys your tweet with the explanation and got a chuckle all the way around.
You know, I'm sorry, if I knew that you were doing that, I would have been a little more descriptive, because I could have added.
Oh, you would have elaborated more? Oh.
Yes.
Oh, well, on the next one, maybe.
I'll send you an email with the you can share with the guys.
A 3-page email. Sounds good.
All right, man. Have a good one.
All right, you too. Have a good week.
All right. Ciao.
Adios.
Bye-bye. That's all, folks. Thank you, Disney Black Talk Radio.